Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Monday morning, everybody. It is Glenn the Geek from a very sunny Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for September 12th, 2011, episode 226, sponsored by Omega Alpha. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, girls, it's Monday.
There's something wrong with us, something very, very wrong with us.
But it's still Monday.
Hey, Jamie, good morning. Did you make it back from Los Angeles?
You know what? I did make it back, and it was a long day trying to get home. I could have driven home faster than it took me to get home. But it turned out to be a pretty fun day. But I got to tell you that, you know, flying on September 11th has its own challenges, that is for sure. It was amazing.
Was security tight?
Yeah. You know, first of all, there wasn't that many people flying at all. I mean, it was crazy. First of all, my flight was supposed to take off at 4:30, and it got delayed. Heck, I don't even know if it's taken off yet. And so they were able to put me on another flight, but I got to the airport a couple hours later because I had gotten word that my flight was going to be delayed. And so I get to the airport when they said it was going to take off. When I got there, it was delayed two more hours, but there was another flight taking off even before that. And they're like, oh, yeah, we just put everybody on this plane. Go ahead, sign on up. Here we go. Here's your boarding pass. So there's so many empty seats. But just trying to get through security, there was maybe 15 people, 20 people in line. And literally, it took an hour because they were scanning the bags back and forth and back and forth and back and forth just for each individual person. So while I appreciate that security was tight, it was really annoying.
Did you get frisked again?
I did not get the boob grab like I did last time.
So you were frisk-free.
I was frisk-free. You know, I found that if you wear something, and you're going to love this, if you wear something tight, they don't feel the need to frisk you. But if you wear something baggy, they're like, you've got a bomb underneath that dress of yours, ma'am. Step on over here. So I have learned.
You know what? It's just the opposite for me. And on that note.
TMI.
All right. Jennifer, what's up?
You didn't think about that before you said you didn't said it, did you?
It just came out.
On today's Omega Alpha edition, and thank you very much, Omega Alpha, for putting up with Glenn, who has no filter at all on Mondays, we open with a bit of weekend catch-up from our intrepid hosts, some of them more intrepid than others, and then we will be taking a few minutes to catch up with our adopted bug and struggling college student, Callie, who will be bringing us a report live from the training track. I suspect we will hear honking horns, yelling grooms, or whinnying going on in the background when she's on. And then to round out the morning, we'll be bringing you all of the headlines fit to read from around the world. So stay tuned.
I really hope that we don't hear honking horns when she's supposed to be on the track. Because I'd be like, honey, you made a wrong turn.
Hey, you know, out at the training center, you're just as likely to hear an ambulance siren as anything. So.
Oh, jeez.
Hope well, David, not. before we go on, sorry I got distracted there. You got me distracted again. By the way, everybody, Jamie and I are both a little tired this morning, so it's probably going to be an interesting morning. So you went out, we should remind everybody, you went out Saturday to watch your husband do a flyover at a football game, right? Was it a college football game?
Yeah, I actually left Friday after the show and flew out to L.A. and met a couple of the other there's four guys that do the flyover. You'll see four jets go over. And so I met the other wives at the airport, and we all flew out to Los Angeles together. And Saturday night, they did the flyover for the USC game, University of
Southern
California.
Yeah, don't get that wrong.
Shows you how much I paid attention to the
game.
They
hate each other.
Yeah, that would be bad. So I flew out there, and we went to the game, and it was just awesome. You know, we got there plenty early to set up. You know, I've got my little iPhone to record it, and everybody's taking pictures. And it was funny because we walk into the stands, and, you know, I'm not wearing anything that would make me go for Utah or USC or anything. And Sky's like, hey, why are you here? Who are you cheering for? And I was like, I don't know. Who's playing?
You're cheering for the airplanes.
Yeah, my husband.
And he's like, well, where'd you go to college? I'm like, Kentucky. He's like, so what are you doing here? I said, and at that point, the marching band was on the field. And I said, I'm here to see the band. He goes, well, you're going to leave after the flyover, aren't you? And I was like, actually, I might. So it was funny because people were like, who are you cheering for? Because you're either wearing, you know, something from USC, which the whole place was, or something from Utah, the Utah Utes. So I really did not have any. The Utah Utes, that's who they played. Their actual
Ute?
Name. It's apparently the native people from
okay.
Utah.
Got it.
I don't.
Okay.
I don't know. I didn't ask. I didn't ask a follow up to that. So the game apparently was good. I don't know. I didn't even pay attention. I was pretty much on my iPhone or whatever. I was actually videoed Chad's flyover, which came at the perfect time. The band played the national anthem. They finished the anthem, and then here they all come over in perfect formation, and it was just. It's just beautiful and inspiring. And I was actually with Chad's brother, who lives in Los Angeles, and said that he realized that was the first time he'd ever seen his brother fly a plane, was that flyover. So that was really cool to be able to see his brother.
And there were four because that's what they call the missing man formation, right?
Exactly. They did okay. the formation there with the three in the front and the one, and then Chad was the fourth one kind of off to the side and in the back. So they flew over, they did their thing, and then they got introduced after halftime. Apparently, they landed back at the Air Force Base, got picked up in a helicopter, and got flown over to the game, and were introduced on the field. And it was really cool because we got to kind of go down to the front and say, we just want to take pictures of our husbands, that's all, you know. And they're like, oh, sure, come on down. And so Chad actually sat with us down there for a little bit, and then when we were walking back up, this has never happened before, and I thought it was the most amazing thing. I mean, it was a very patriotic football game. And as we're walking back up the stands, he's in his little flight suit, and he's got his little helmet bag, and we're walking back up, and everybody broke out into standing ovation. It was so
How
neat.
Cool
just
is
him
that?
Walking,
That's cool.
Yeah. Just him walking up the stadium steps. Everybody started clapping and thanking him, and it was just, I was so incredibly proud. It was very, very fun. So then the rest of the game happened and whatever. I don't know. Somebody won and somebody lost, and then we went home.
I did see you when you were stranded there for a little bit. You got to spend a little time, got to see the ocean, got to see the Pacific.
Yes, I did. Fortunately, Southwest will actually, this was the first time this has happened to me, but Southwest will actually text you if your flight is delayed. And we were on the way to the airport with Chad's brother and Chad in tow, and we were on the way to the airport, and I was like, oh no, my flight's delayed three and a half hours. Right turn, we went to the beach. So it was really fun. Got to see the ocean,
good.
Put my feet in the water.
Somebody was a proud wife over the weekend. That's terrific. And you should be, by the way.
It was great. How is everything with you guys? What did you guys get into? Did you get a new car yet?
We haven't gone down that road yet. So hopefully this week sometime. And I do have. Let's do the Daily Winnies because I have something. I have something important. My first Daily Winnie first before I do my Daily Winnie. Good morning, Robert. Robert's listening in this morning, posted on our Facebook page, and he said, and Glenn, the line is behind you now. You can go on with the show. So there you go. I'm required to have one funny moment a show. There it was. I'm done for the day. I can go home.
Like George Costanza, you can get up and walk away.
That's right. All right, my Daily
and
Winnie today is for my horsey. Jennifer Knight's horse, Beaker, and Beaker is doing fine. Remember we talked about on Friday that he wasn't feeling well. We thought he had eaten something he shouldn't have. We still think he had eaten something he shouldn't have, but the puffing on his legs has gone down. His fever is better, and we've kept him in all weekend and just put him out for an hour at a time. So we're going to have to regulate his intake of weeds, because we think it's the weed consumption that has done it. He is one of those horses. When I took him out and hand grazed him for a while the other day, and you forget until you hand graze him every time. He is one of those horses that just rips everything up by the roots and, you know, doesn't chew at all. He is just like a vacuum cleaner. You know, some horses are dainty about it. He just rips it up by the roots. It's a bare spot when he's done. And he does the same thing with the wheat, so no wonder he got sick. But he's doing better, and he should be fine.
Glenn, has nobody informed Beaker that he lives in Lexington, Kentucky? I mean, there's no need to go that crazy for one spot of grass because, my God, you're in Lexington, Kentucky.
Well, that's the thing, you're right.
I'm listening to this book right now about POWs in World War II and how when they got home, they would hoard food, and they did it the rest of their lives because they had none. And Beaker's like that. He's ingesting as much. He can't hoard it himself, so that's his way of hoarding food. It's just to ingest as much as possible, as quickly as possible.
Therapy. Therapy, Glenn. He needs therapy.
I need to get Dr. Ying out there, I think, to have a session, or Anna Twiney, one of the two. All right, here's your Daily Winnie.
Well, as some people know, the American Eventing Championships were over the weekend, actually last week all the way up through Sunday, which it's the culmination. You have to qualify for it. It's the best of the best go to the Eventing Championships. And this past weekend, my coach, Barbara Crabo, was actually in the championships. She drove all the way from Scottsdale, Arizona to Atlanta, Georgia, to head out there and try her luck at the advanced eventing division. And after dressage, she was fifth. She moved up to third after cross country. And then she went and did her show jumping yesterday. And I believe Allison Springer and Arthur were in first. And maybe Emily Bashir was in second. Well, both those guys had rails. And the winner of the 2011
no.
American Eventing Championships, my coach, Barbara Crabo. Woo-hoo!
Wow, that's great.
That's so thrilling for her because she is just such a hard worker. This woman rides in Arizona all day, okay? And for those who know, it's like 115 degrees here, and she is just tougher than everybody. She is a tiny, tiny woman who is just, like I've talked about what she's told me, and she does not take any BS from anybody, especially me whining about my horse. And so she does a really fantastic job, and she just works really hard, and she runs her own place up in Scottsdale, and this is just so exciting because I feel like she finally got, you know, she got a big win. This was a big win. She won for eventing. This never happened. She won $20,000 was her take from the eventing championships, which is thrilling. She actually came in second, Buck Davidson, third place, Doug Payne. So she beat some really big
wow.
names, and Yeah. I'm absolutely thrilled for her. Now, Eventing Nation actually conducted an interview with her, Glenn. And they interviewed her, and you can tell how unbelievably uncomfortable she is talking about herself. So she just basically talked about her horse, because that's what we all do when we're uncomfortable. And so she did this interview on Eventing Nation, and I saw it, and I texted her. I'm like, that's it. You are officially on my show. Because you did an interview for somebody else, so she is going. She said she'd be on our show finally.
I was just looking. Was it a video she did?
She did an interview with them. It's in. If you go to the bottom of the page and you look under archives, because they had so much eventing stuff going on this weekend that they kept posting stuff. So it's on about 1.5 ways down. So it's a little bit further down because it's been so much stuff. But it's I think they called it the Barbara Crabo. And, by the way, her horse's name is Ever Ready. Ever Ready was a horse, she called him Ready, that she bred. She still owns his mother. So homebred, she has done everything with this horse and took him advanced and won the whole thing. So with his 32.
Hey, you want to try and take a listen to it?
Yeah.
We can give it a shot here. Let's see how it works. And this will be...
I'm here with Barbara Crabo, who has just won the American Eventing Advanced Championships with Ever Ready, a.k.a. Ready. And Barbara, how was your show coming around?
It was a little exuberant, but he was very good. We had a couple spots where he helped me out a little bit and did his job.
Cool.
And he was jumping like crazy and... Great.
Good. And so you're based out of Arizona. Tell us just a little bit about your program and just kind of everything over in Arizona.
Okay. Well, I'm based in Scottsdale, Arizona. I have a little boarding and training facility called Four Peaks Farm.
Okay.
And just have some fantastic students that are a lot of fun. And then I travel around and they're tolerant of me leaving for weeks at a time.
Right.
While I travel around the country to see.
Cool. And Reddy is actually a homebred, which is awesome. And tell us just a little bit about his history.
Well, like you said, he's a homebred. I still have his mom. She was my first advanced horse. She's almost 25 now.
Cool.
And he's 12 years old, and it's really rewarding because I've done everything with him. I started him. I was the first one on him. I'm the only one that's ever done anything with him, literally.
Yeah.
And he's taught me so much. Most of his career, he's been extremely strong. Some would consider him an out-and-out runaway. And I've tried every bit. I have a box full of bits that I've tried and given up on. And for a while, it was in the hackamore, and that lasted for 3 years. And then it was a halter, is what it felt like. So, and then he had a little time off last year, and for an injury, and he's come back, and he grew up. He's been back this year. Every show he comes out, he gets better. He's more reliable. He's totally rideable. I was out there on cross country yesterday with a scooter in, and it was very exciting.
Fantastic. And there was a tense moment right before your dressage ride, and just tell us a little bit about the background on that story.
Well, the routine that I've created with him that seems to work the best for dressage to keep him happy is to ride him about 2 hours before his test and then get on 10 minutes before his ride.
Right.
Walk down to the arena, canter, circle, and go in.
Okay.
And that was what I was doing. It was 10 minutes before my ride, and they were running 10 minutes early in the dressage arena, and when I wasn't there, they were calling me as a scratch over the intercom system, which caused him to panic.
Yeah, I would say so, yeah.
But he held it together even though I was shaking, and they rectified the situation and apologized. But it made the weekend start out in a little bit of a tense spot for me.
And it all went uphill from there, right?
It did. I had a lovely dressage test. I was very happy with him. He's not a spectacular mover, so he has to really, really try to put in a good test. And he did. He was very accurate, very obedient, very relaxed. And he's been perfect from day one.
Good.
Well, there you go. Well, that's... I got looking at this video here, Jamie, and it looks like you two could look eye to eye.
We do. We're neither one of us is blessed with the height gene. No, we're both pretty short. It's kind of fun to talk to
somebody. She mentioned you in there, one of her students, one of her lovely students. She mentioned you.
I think what she was saying was that her students were lovely and patient and okay with her leaving all the time to go compete. However, I am not in that category right now because I have a horse trial this weekend in Flagstaff. I have no arena to ride in. I've been riding in a grassy field, and I have nowhere to go and nowhere to practice, and I have no help, and I'm taking Jeff to his second ever horse trial this weekend in Coconino. So I think I don't qualify as one of those happy, okay with her leaving because I'm kind of in panic mode. But I am thrilled for her win. I think it's awesome.
This particular show you're going to this weekend does not have a racetrack, does it, like the last one?
It's the same place, Glenn.
Oh.
The same exact situation with the dressage is on a track.
And I should remind the audience, too, she talked about there being announced as a withdrawal. The same thing happened to you at your last show. What is it with you, Arizona girl?
I don't know. They don't want us to ride. Yeah, she it's funny because she always does this routine. She gets on her horse. That's why she couldn't be on the show with us last time. Is she has to get on her horse and go ride him like probably an hour and a half to 2 hours before her test. She takes him back to the barn, gets him all ready, and about 10 minutes before, if you couldn't hear it, 10 minutes before, she goes down, canters a circle, and goes in. Her horse is very funny. Well, that's her situation, but obviously they're running 10 minutes early. They're like, she's not here warming up. She must be a scratch. I was actually a scratch before I even started, before I even got there. They had me as a scratch, so.
Well, and then the other thing, too, you know, and I just wanted to, you know, make sure you understood this, that it's an unwritten rule with advanced level riders that every time they win a competition, they raise lesson rates $5. So I just wanted you to know that.
Okay, well, apparently she knew she was going to win because rates went up $5 a lesson almost 3 weeks ago.
I just made that up, and look, I was right ahead of time.
I thought you were real. I was like, I have never heard that, but I can go with it because I just rates just went up.
Well, you know
but
what that means? Another $5 next week. It's gonna be up $10 now.
I know. Oh no, I'm gonna be. She's gonna price me right out of the lessons.
What do you? Can I ask what you pay for a lesson? What lessons run out there?
It's kind of funny because there's another eventer in the area that I was taking lessons with, and he was $75 a private. And so I just couldn't take too many of them. Here, I take a lesson with her, and it is, I'll do a semi-private, which is 42. And it'll last an hour to 2 hours. I mean, she's not on the clock. You know, half the time I get there, I got to wait 45 minutes because she's still with her last lesson, which I don't mind at all because people have to do that for us too. So I think it's a good price.
That's a really good price, actually. You're probably charging about 30 to 40 to your students. So that's a really good price. Now, if you go take a lesson with somebody the caliber of Reese Coffler Stanfield, let's say, you'll pay $80 to $100 an hour.
Okay, question of the day. What do you people pay for riding lessons and who's your instructor?
Yeah, there you go.
If you
or just what do you
wrong,
pay for riding
way.
Lessons that way if they don't feel like calling out their instructor?
Jennifer, you spelled Crabo wrong. It's C-R-A-B-O. So if you want to check that.
Sorry, I got it. And you know what threw me off is when I Googled it, I didn't know how to spell her last name, so I just kind of winged it. There is a Craybill who does eventing in Arizona, so I will repair that. Sorry, folks.
They probably misspelled it too. Whoever posted that.
Well, it's called four point something. Whatever.
Four Peaks Farm is her farm. Yeah. So
it's the same thing. So they spelled it wrong. How interesting.
Yeah.
Is that?
Well, I would love to know what everybody pays. I mean, I don't charge very much because my people that come to take lessons with me, it's, you know, they're not making me go to shows on the weekends, and I'm not having to you know, pretty much just give people the horse experience. And I have a lot, and all my students end up becoming friends, which is a problem because then you're like, ah, don't pay me this week. It's fine. We're just out riding together. But I do 35 for a private and then 25 for the semi-private or group after that.
Well, that's,
so
that's,
I don't know.
That's about right. I think that's about right for what you would pay around here, too. I think that's kind of what it'd be interesting. I can't wait to see the answers to this. And Jennifer, let's just put, you know, what do you pay for a lesson in your area? And, you know, maybe what kind of lessons you take, dressage, eventing, you know, jumping, whatever. So instead of the coach, that way people are going to be more free to put it. But it is going to be interesting to see how it varies. I know at the $80 to $100 a shot, you can't afford to do it. Most people couldn't afford it. You did once a month, and you're stretching it a bit.
Yeah, that was. I had a problem sticking with the $75 lessons, and then I found Barb, and I'm like, wow, she's actually more qualified and cheaper. Don't tell her that, though. Please. hopefully she's not listening. And they're like, oh, rates are really going up now.
Let me also give you a couple of updates here. I don't know if you guys saw that Eventing Nation just posted the flooding has moved from Pennsylvania to Virginia now, and there are 18 horses at the Skylar Ick Voss Farm in Vienna, Virginia, that had to be rescued because of massive flooding. And they actually have pictures there of the flooding at the farm, and it's pretty incredible. So, you know, the flooding in central Pennsylvania has resided, but boy, it did some damage. It was the worst flooding they had ever seen in Hershey, Pennsylvania, and it was within 2 feet of the worst flooding ever in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. It flooded a good bit of the city, so there was a lot underwater in central Pennsylvania. On Saturday, there were 260 roads that were closed because they had buckled or parts of the road had washed away. They finally got the turnpike open from east to west in Pennsylvania, which is the major artery, because it had been closed for more than a day. And then Route 81, the other major artery north and south, was finally opened again. But there was some serious damage there in central Pennsylvania, and I know a lot of horse farms were along the rivers there as well, so I hope they all fared well. I do not have an update for everybody on the 22 horses missing in New York. I could not find anything new about that story. The other story, of course, was the fires in Texas. And at this point, we're looking at 1,600 homes that were destroyed. 17 people remain unaccounted for and has destroyed 34,000 acres and 191 different fires. They really need some rain down there. It's time.
Oh, that's just it's amazing. And you know, I just keep waiting for the hay price kick up because everybody says hay prices are going to get crazy around.
They are.
I mean, I know they're already crazy in Texas, apparently, but around here they're saying it's just going to get worse. So
I'll tell you what, if you can afford it and you have room, buy hay now. And what I mean now, I mean within the next couple of weeks, buy as much hay as you can possibly put up.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's not going to get any better when we get into fall. It never gets better when we get into fall. And this year, it's going to be bad. So buy your hay now.
See, the biggest problem isn't so much the crop. I mean, a lot of parts of the country were able to get a good crop in. What we've had problems with is the stores. They bring the crop in, they put it in a barn, they put it in a storage unit of some sort. Well, those storage units have been destroyed. That's what's going to cause the problem. Well, usually it's a weather thing where the crop doesn't get put up to start with. That wasn't the hard part this year. The hard part now is what everybody had stored to sell over the winter or to use over the winter has gotten burned up or flooded out, and that's where the problem's going to be. The prices here in Lexington are already starting to climb, and a lot of local producers are shipping their hay south, and it's a good thing because they need the hay. But that, in turn, you know, causes sort of a domino effect on the price.
Well, and there was another thing I read, too, and this was off of AgWeb that I read, that they're looking for extremely tight supplies to keep the pressure on price of hay in many parts of the country well into 2012 will be really high. And it says here it's a double whammy of fewer acres planted and weather that's stunting production. Plus, you have another problem is that they're also looking at limited wheat and corn silage production, which means that the cattle guys are going to be feeding more hay. So not only are you going to have the horse people vying for the hay, you're going to have more and more cattle people looking for more hay, which is going to drive the price up even further. So that's why I'm saying if you can buy hay now and stock it, you're going to be much better off than trying to buy it in January. It'll be a bad situation in January.
I am stressed out just listening to this. I don't have anywhere to put it.
I know that's a problem with in Arizona there, isn't it? You just don't have a spot.
Well, it's just, you know, we keep our hay out in the open. You know, and in the 4 days a year that it rains, we're like, get the tarps. Do we have anything to hold these tarps down? Grab some rocks from the front yard. Okay.
Grab the dogs. Throw the dogs on top.
Exactly. So I'll have to figure something out.
I don't think we're sitting on top.
Yeah. Stay.
Don't move. Yeah, I know it's raining. You sit.
I'd love to leave his butt out in the rain right now. I'm so mad at him. Exhausting.
Oh, that would be Boomer, wouldn't it?
Yes. That's the one who you've heard barking and whining because I've locked him out because I can't let him in this room because this is the room with the cat and I can't have the cat and the dog in the same room together because then it becomes, you know, exciting and bloody.
We're going to have our resident or our adopted bug coming up here shortly. And for those of you that are new to the show or haven't heard what is our adopted bug or who is our adopted bug, you'll find out that in a minute. But first, let's talk a little bit about our sponsor today, Jamie.
Absolutely. You know, we love Omega Alpha here, and they do such a fantastic job, and they have fantastic products. And since we all care about what we feed our horses, we care about that probably more than what we feed ourselves. So Omega Alpha also cares about what goes into your horses and ponies, and that's why Omega Alpha only uses natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance. All of their products are made by them using the finest natural ingredients available. You know, this weekend, like I said, I've got the horse trial going on, and my horse, Glenn, you know, Jet, he gets a little exuberant is a good word about going down to the racetrack and doing dressage. And then, you know, cross country warm up is in a forest and he's never even been in that before, except for the last time he ran cross country. So there's a couple of things that my friend Jet is going to get this weekend. Number one is Equine Chill. It does
wonder
what it says. I know. And the other thing is, it's been so dusty here that I've noticed he's developed a, like, you know when you get on your horse and you start trotting and they cough like 3 or 4 times every once in a while just to kind of clear out their lungs? Well, he's been coughing 4 or 5 times every time I've started trotting. So we're going to try the Equine Respi Free and give him some of that. And just, you know, it just kind of clears out their airways a little bit. Hopefully it will give him extra energy because he doesn't need any of that. But the difference with Omega Alpha is the science that goes into their product. Dr. Gordon Chang is well-respected in the industry as a pioneer and putting the right natural ingredients together to make formulations that work for your horse. I am a supplement fan. I can't help it. They have a wide range of products to help anything you could possibly need with your horse. So please go see them at omegaalpha.ca. That is omegaalpha.ca, or you can email me or Glenn if you have any questions about any of their products. It's jamie@horseradionetwork.com, and I'll do my best to get you an answer that's correct. It's omegaalpha.ca. Glenn, are you there?
Thank you, Omega Alpha. And while Jennifer's getting the cutest bug ever on the phone, I wanted to give you an update on the lesson prices coming in for your question of the day.
And I have a present for you, by the way.
Whenever
you want your present. I'm going to post it. Can you get Facebook right now? I guess you can.
Yes, I can. Yep.
Okay,
so
well, you do the update, and then I'll give you a present
right
on Facebook.
Okay. All right, so Robert Dunn's paying $35 to $50 for dressage lessons up in the north part of the country. In Connecticut, New York, Teresa says that they pay anywhere from $40 to $60 for a one-hour private and $10 to $40 for a one-hour group lesson. And then May Snyder said, it depends on the instructor. I pay $30 for group lessons in the dressage barn. I pay $35 an hour for private lessons with my horse trainer. When the centered riding clinician comes to town, I think it's $70 for an hour. And I know that when Jennifer takes lessons with her instructor, who we had on here a little while back, it'll be $70 to $75 for an upper-level instructor like that. So, again, it's in the range that we thought it would be so far with the reports coming in. And I don't see my present yet.
It's posting right now, but I've got to be a little bit patient. Okay, it's just posted.
Okay. All right.
Because I know that in eventing, you are a huge fan of the jog up, and you love to find, you know, the best outfits at the jog up, eventing morning, you know, the Sunday morning. You have to jog your horse for the veterinarian and do an inspection. So I thought you would appreciate this outfit. Can you see it
oh
yet?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I appreciate it very much. This is the kind of outfit that you were talking about to wear at the airport to zip right through. You are not going to hide
not.
A gun in that outfit. Nowhere.
You're not gonna hide a kernel of corn in that outfit. Oh, my God.
Jennifer, you can hide an ear of corn in her cleavage, okay?
Yeah, you could do that.
You can find that.
My.
By the way, it's a picture of a very lovely, beautiful young girl wearing all white, except for her cowboy boots. Very tight white top, very tight white bottom, and I'd have to see the back to really determine whether it was a really good outfit. I'm just saying.
Jennifer, if you'll refresh, I posted one for you and the ladies. This is in Blenheim. This is the horse trial that happened over the weekend in Europe, and there's just some special, unique ways that Europeans dress. This is actually the post picture that I just posted is South Africa's Alexander Peternel. I don't have any information on his horse, and I don't really care. It's a shirtless eventer.
All right, let's get to our guest. All right, let's talk to Callie. Now, what happened was we had Callie Francois on with us, and she is going to school to be a jockey. And that's why we had her on. We wanted to talk to her about that. And she was such a terrific guest. She goes to the North American Racing Academy, founded by Chris McCarron, Hall of Fame jockey here in Lexington, or in Kentucky, right, based out of Lexington. And she was such a terrific guest. We decided to adopt her like we do with some things. We have an adopted hometown. We have adopted things. And we adopted Callie, whether she liked it or not, as our bug. And a bug is a brand new, it's like a rookie jockey. That's what a bug is.
Have
so Callie by, yeah, well, we had already talked about that before, so I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on that. So good morning, Callie.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. By the way, I finally, Jamie, met Callie in person at the barn the other day, and we talked for quite a while. She is the cutest damn bug you've ever seen. She is not the kind of bug you will run for or want to squish. So, Callie, now you've started classes again, haven't you?
I have. We started classes about 3 weeks ago. So that's kind of, you know, summer was definitely over because it went from I had afternoons all myself and now my days are full.
Now, describe when you're in jockey school, describe how your day goes.
Well, my day starts on sometimes I'll get up around 4:35, you know, 4:35 o'clock, and I'll be out at the barn by 5:30, it's what you call hustling. So you go from barn to barn and see if they need any help, you know, need any riders, whatnot. Sometimes, you know, some riders ride for an outfit, so they just show up, they show up to work kind of deal, but, I'm done with the track about 10 o'clock at the latest, 10:30 sometimes. And then I have a class with Chris at 11, and we watch film of races. And, you know, he tells us what's, you know, what you want to look for and what you don't want to look for, or we are on the equalizers, then we have lunch, and then we have a breeding operations class with Dixie Hayes around 2 o'clock. And then right after that, around 3 o'clock, from 3 to 4, 4:30, we're back at the barn, and we actually, the seniors, help out the freshmen around the barns, finishing up the afternoon chores, and then the rest of the day is ours.
Because you guys actually have to take care of your horse, your own horses that they have at the school, right?
Right. As a fresh, you know, in your first year, you're, you know, assigned a horse, you know, down the, you know, as the year goes on, you're given maybe 2 or 3 more. And, you know, you come in the morning and you groom them, muck out their stalls, and get ready to ride. But as
now, have
sorry.
Well, that's okay. I was just going to ask, have you been picking up more rides? You were finding it a little bit frustrating to get rides out of the track in the morning.
Right. I wasn't so much frustrated. I just, you know, you got to be paid. Got to be patient about that kind of thing. And, yes, I did pick some rides up. I'm riding about 6 to 7 a day.
And so you're back to riding 6 to 7 a day. Are you having fun with it?
Oh, I'm having a blast. It's really cool. Today is actually an exception. Today's a really slow day. I actually worked yesterday. And it's fun because you get to ride. When I started, I rode for an outfit, but now as I'm freelancing, I'm kind of riding for a couple different trainers, and it's, you know, interesting to see what different trainers like and how they want their horses ridden and how they handle things at the barn. So you learn a ton.
Now, do you get paid for this, or is this, are you volunteering at this point?
I do. You know, there's actually an outfit that's, you know, they have really nice horses. So right now I'm kind of volunteering. There is a possibility of pay, but right now my main concern is to learn. So, you know, I try and get on, you know, the nicer horses out there with the nicer outfits. And, you know, at this point, it doesn't matter so much to me that I get paid. But, yes, I do. Well, you know, it's nice. I get paid. Yes.
I got to ask you, you know, I had a minor experience. I had nowhere near what you're doing, but I galloped horses on the racetrack. And I got to ask you, with 6 or 7 a day, do you get nervous before every horse you get on? Or is it no big deal? You're like, whatever, I'm not worried about getting hurt.
You know, not really. I don't really worry about getting hurt because at this point, especially with horses on the track, they're, you know, all kind of feisty sometimes. You just have to be prepared, and if you get hurt, that's kind of how the game rolls. It's, you know, it's not a matter of if I fall off, but it's a matter of when and how bad my injury is going to be.
That's some power positive thinking right there.
I seem so serious about this, don't I?
And I hear some clippity-clop. Are you on a horse right now?
Yeah, like I said, with the exception of today, I actually only got on. Today was a super slow day. Hardly anybody was on the track. So I only got on 4 today. So I took advantage, and I actually have a event prospect that I'm working on. So I'm on him right now, and we're just kind of done with our flat work, and we're hacking around right now.
Oh, there you go. That sounds like fun. So what? Which track do you go to? Do you head over to Keeneland, or do you go? Where do you ride in the morning?
I ride. I'm still riding at the Fairway Training Center.
Okay.
I thought about going to Keeneland, but I asked Chris about it, and he basically said you're not going to get a lot of luck there right now. So I may go when it opens up a bit, when more trainers start coming in, more horses start coming in. But the thing is, I don't want to lose. You know, Keeneland's here and gone really quick. It's only about a month and a half that you're going to get a lot of traffic there. So if I go there, I have the potential to lose a lot of business at the training center. So it's a tough
I think you're in a good spot. I mean, I started at the training center too, and it's a place where you are afforded a little bit more leeway as far as making mistakes goes. Obviously, there's
exactly.
You know, Yeah, there's the you know, rules that you have to follow. But for the most part, if you screw up, you're not going to get kicked off the track. Keeneland does not tolerate mistakes by riders at all. And if you get run away with or you fall off or something like that, they know. And they kind of keep track
exactly.
of you there. Whereas, yeah, whereas the training center, you can get away with a little bit more out there and as far as a learning curve goes. But, you know, I would say, do you think that it's slow right now just because of the Keeneland sales that are going on?
A little bit. After the sales, things are definitely going to pick back up. Another problem was that there are a lot, because not a lot of business is going on at Keeneland right now, there are a lot of, you know, people walking around with helmets and vests on, you know, hopping on horses. So it's tough, but like I said, you know, you just kind of have to give it some time, be patient, stick around, and, you know, you'll get lucky.
Keeneland starts, if I remember right, Keeneland starts their live racing next month, October, right?
Right, right.
Yeah. Are you okay? You didn't fall off, did you?
No, he was just kind of digging and wanting to have some fun, so I just had to stop him for a bit. He's fine.
Glad to hear it. And it's a beautiful morning here in Lexington, so you have a great day to work with your event horse, that's for sure.
Oh, it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous.
Now, Kelly, I was just going to ask, how many people drop out of this course? Are there a certain number that go to the jockey school that go, oh, I can't do this?
Yes. you know, it's sad. It's tough to see it, but yes, there is a pretty big percentage. It's almost half, you know, almost half. We started out with, let's see, 20 kids total, and 10 or 9 of them were in the horseman's pathway, and then 11 were in the jockey pathway, and we only have 5 students coming back for the jockey pathway.
Wow. That is attrition, for sure.
So
yeah,
how tough it is to be a jockey.
You lose them over time, so they kind of... It's not like they're all of a sudden they're gone. You know, you lose them. You know, you lose kids within the first. Our first kid was gone within the first 2 weeks. So,
no kidding. That is, well, it's
yeah.
Tough. Is it at all like what we saw with the Animal Planet show jockeys? Is there drama? Is there like, I mean, is there drugs? Is there drama? Is there craziness? What's going on?
There's definitely drama because with a bunch of the other girls, I personally am not a drama person. So I'm there to do my job. I'm there to ride horses and I'm there to learn. So I stayed kind of out of it, but there was definitely some drama. I know one girl probably left because of it. But I tend to stay out of it.
You know what that means? I hate to tell you this, is like if you're staying out of the drama, they are totally talking behind your back.
Oh, I know it. I definitely know it. I remember when I started getting more rides, I just had a hater club. It was awesome.
That's funny. Are there more guys or girls?
There are more girls. There. Two of them are guys, and then one actually broke his collarbone. And then there are 3 of us girls in the jockey pathway.
You know, most colleges, you have attrition because they can't hack the work and they can't hack the school and things like that. With you, you have attrition for 2 things. They can't hack it or they get severely injured. So, I mean, you got 2 things.
Yeah, you have that. But with injuries, it depends how bad it is. You know, if they're minor ones, like breaking your collarbone, you're always going to get better. So, but that was probably another reason a couple of kids left too, because you could just see they were just terrified when they got on the track. So, it's not a sport for the with someone with a weak stomach.
Well,
definitely
sure.
Not. Definitely not. And I would say, too, you know, you mentioned that you're riding your event. It's an event horse. And what are your plans with him?
Oh, I just got him. We had to go through a little bit of you know, back soreness issues, but he's fine now. So I'm just kind of starting on him right now. He was, you know, he was on the track. And competition-wise, I don't have any goals right now because he's just not that far yet. But pretty soon, he's understanding stuff, and he's getting around there. So right now, I'm just getting, you know, trying to get all the bases down on him.
Gotcha. Well, good deal. Good luck with him. And I'm shocked that a bug jockey has an off-the-track thoroughbred. I mean, those are hard to come by.
Well,
the good ones are hard to come by.
That's true. That is true, Callie. Yeah, there's a lot of them free. There's a lot of free ones here in Lexington, but you're right about the good ones. The sound ones are hard to come by.
Yeah.
Let me add that.
Yeah.
Well, Callie, thank you so much. The reason that you're our adopted bug is because of your attitude. You're so darn positive, and we love that about you. And good luck. Keep going to class. You know, I wanted to say, you know, your morning class is sitting around watching films of races. That sounds like something you would absolutely love, Jamie. You'd love that class.
I want to go just to the class part.
You know, if you want to sit in on a class, I mean, Chris, you know, Chris has been watching films ever since he was a teenager, so he's a pro at it. You learn so much. If you want to get a hold of me, you can certainly feel free to sit in. I'm sure he wouldn't mind.
Oh,
well,
my
next
God.
Next time
I'd
you're out
it.
Here, Jamie. Next time
oh,
you're
no.
out here.
I'm booking a trip today.
Thank you, Callie. We appreciate it. Go back to riding your horse. We can hear the clippity-clops there. Thank you so much for joining
us
this morning. And we'll talk to you again in about a month.
Great. Sounds awesome. You guys have a good rest of the month.
Okay. Thanks, Callie. Bye.
Thanks, Glenn. Bye.
That was so cool. You can hear the clippity-clops. I love it when we talk to guests that are riding and you can actually hear the horse.
Between guests that are riding and guests that are wrangling cattle and you hear them mooing, it's pretty exciting.
You're not going to find that anywhere else. Nobody else has guests who are riding while they're doing their interview. Nope.
Okay, so I am looking at Facebook, and you posted a picture before we did Callie's interview. We'll get to our song and the rest of the news here shortly. Plus, we have an interview to play for you. But I'm looking at Facebook, and you post a picture of a girl, you know, in very tight clothes for me. And then you post a picture of the half-naked guy, rider, and you get a whole lot of comments on the half-naked rider guy. And I love some of them. Nice confirmation. The horse isn't bad either. happy Monday to me. Would rather just see a pic of the horse. Oh, come on. You got to get
Cheryl, come on.
Cheryl,
come on, Cheryl.
Cheryl.
Who are you lying to right now? What I like about it, Glenn, is that I post the picture of the chick, and all of us girls get on, and we're like hating on her. She was just trying to distract the judges. I'm like, yeah, that's what they say. The lamer the horse, the tighter the outfit, blah, blah, blah. And Robert Dunn is like, she's wearing it because she can.
Exactly. So I like Robert. He's so practical.
I know. Awesome. All the girls are hating on the girls. And then they post one pic of a shirtless guy from the rear end area. It's quite nice. And everybody's like, ooh, durr. Like Anna Cluxton wrote, purr, pawing the air like a kitten. Hello. I love objectifying men. It's about time we objectify men in this world more often.
Well, we certainly do enough of it with women, so you have a right. Where our song today is sponsored by Pocket Stable, and after our song today, we have an interview with you, for you, with the winner of Burley, six-time winner, William Fox Pitts, coming up. Plus, we have a lot of news today, so we're going to have our weekend roundup as well. But right after we talk about Pocket Stable is the iPhone app that you can get that will keep track of all of your worming and your farrier visits and your dentist visits and all that stuff. It'll give you a shout out when it's time to do it all again so you don't forget. And it even tracks the weight of your horse, and it's so easy to get. You just go to the App Store on your iPhone, you open it up, you type in Pocket Stable, you download it, $3.99. And that's it. And then you have it, and you don't have to worry about losing track of all that stuff again. one other thing. You have to put the information in. It doesn't know the information by osmosis. You actually physically have to put the information in. It's not going to read your mind, so you do have to do that part. And you
and
can
that
also
is
visit
my
them.
Problem, Glenn, is
yeah?
that, you know, I try to take my phone and scan my horse's shoes to tell me what day they were done, and it doesn't work. It's kind of annoying. So then I have to call my farrier and go, when did we do that again? So I can put it in my handy-dandy iPhone app.
You know, farriers should be recommending this to everybody. Farriers and dentists should be pushing this app. They really should,
yes.
If you think about it.
They should.
Yeah. It'll save phone calls, and it'll also make sure that they get out on time. They'll do more business. They should be pushing this. Got to talk to the Pocket Stable people and tell them that's who they really need to be pushing this. Well, today we're going to do a little horses in life, you know, for Callie there, who's definitely living the horse life. So this is Horses in Life for Marianne Kennedy, and we'll be right back after that with an interview with William Fox Pitt.
Horses in life, it's all the same to me. And my heart keeps beating inside. Horses in life, the passion was born at birth. Until my last day on earth, it'll be life.
Coming my way. You're listening to Horses in the Morning.
Yes, you are. And today's Horses in the Morning is sponsored by Omega Alpha. You can find them at omegaalpha.ca. I am Glenn the Geek. I am here with Jamie Jennings and my lovely wife, Jennifer, who also is known as Coach Jennifer. And our show highlight this week from the Horse Radio Network is the Eventing Radio Show that's currently up there. Chris had an opportunity last week to talk to a lot of people about the Burley Horse Trials. So the focus of the Eventing Radio Show this week was the Burley Horse Trials. And she had Jimmy Wofford on there. And she also got a quick interview in with William Fox Pitt. And she had Horse and Hounds Pippa Room, a good friend of ours here at the Horse Radio Network, giving the reporter's view. But we have a little bit of the interview with William Fox Pitt. This was his sixth win of Burley, and we wanted to share that with you. So here is William Fox Pitt.
Well, this year's winner of the Land Rover Burley Horse Trials, William Fox Pitt, has won it, as you know now, a record six times. He first won in 1994 on Chaka. In 2002, he then won with Highland Lad. And 3 years later, in 2005, he won again on Ballincoola. In 2007, on Parkmore Ed. And a year later, on Tamarillo. And now, of course, 3 years later, he wins on Park Lane Hawk. It's an incredible record, which, of course, has made the history books now, matching Lucinda Green's Babington record of six wins, which is obviously an incredible feat by any rider. But as you know, if you follow the sport, William Fox Pitt has got an incredible record anyway with producing four-star horses. He currently has six in his barn, and that's a total of 25 horses there. So he was hardly able to catch his breath before he has to turn around and get ready to head over to Blenheim this week for the three-star event there. And fortunately, I was able to catch up with William and get his reaction to that historic win. Well, William, many congratulations. A sixth Burley win for you. How does it feel the day after? Has it all sunk in yet?
No, it certainly hasn't. Thank you very much. No, it was very exciting indeed. You know, I went into Burley with two very good horses, but, you know, I've been very lucky there. I never expected to ever win six Burleys. So to have done it is a great feeling of satisfaction and great excitement here. Yeah, everyone's on top form and can't quite believe it's happened.
Now, what were your expectations, William, with this horse before Burley going into the competition? And tell us what, if your expectations changed, as the conditions, of course, changed towards the end there too.
I think of my two horses, I felt that Nesta Kerr was the more experienced one and was more likely to put in a you know, top-class performance. Park Lane Hawk, it was his first four-star. Whilst he's won Blenheim and always shown to be a very talented horse, I thought maybe Burley was a little bit too soon for him. But no, the competition all went his way right from the beginning. He did a superb test even on a Thursday. He got quite a respectable mark. And, you know, with my little error, of course, as well, which in the end of the day could have been quite expensive. But, I think cross-country galloped and jumped and coped very well with the big, demanding track. And, I was very impressed with how he went. And the show jumping, the conditions did change. And I, to be honest, didn't think that was very good news for him. His weak phase would be his show jumping, and I felt that it was a very big, quite a technical track, and with it getting muddy and quite deep going last and everything else, I thought, you know, he could easily not have jumped a clear round, and I wouldn't have been at all disappointed with him had he not. I think that a lot of good horses had rails down, but no, he jumped brilliantly, and it's very exciting and very exciting for his future.
Well, it's, 17 years since you first won with Chaka, 1994, wasn't it, William? it's nice to look back on that, those sort of career highlights of Burley with riding six different horses. You said this was a big technical course. Often these courses are designed that way these days, but how would you compare this win to all those others, putting obviously those horses in other horses very differently in context of the courses over that period of time?
I mean, when you look back, I mean, I won it in 94 on Charco when it was long format. You had a 4.5 minute chase and a 40 minute AC at the original speed. The test has changed enormously, I think, and it's not necessarily harder. It's not necessarily easier. It's just different. And I've ridden very different horses there. I mean, it's extraordinary that the same horse has never won it twice. And Ballincoola came close. He was second, as well as winning, and had three other top ten placings. But it's amazing how it changes. And this, as I said, was the first four-star for Park Lane Hawk. And who knows where it will lead to for him. But I think this year was the cross country was a little bit longer. But it was, it was big and bold and attacking. Not as twisting and turning as in previous years. Not as maybe as punishing as we've seen it. I say punishing as in demanding and physically tiring. But it was a big track and it needed jumping, and the horses needed to gallop right to the end. And I think this year we did see a few horses getting a little bit tired. Conditions were pretty good. I mean, you couldn't fault them. The ground was superb. The weather was in the morning quite cold and warmed up in the afternoon, but it was in no way, I would say, that sapping. And we did see some very tired horses, and showing what a demanding track it was.
But the footing looked perfect on TV, William. It obviously suited your horses. You were on top of the ground.
The footing was perfect. I think Burley do a fantastic job. I think they lead the way in that. I think the Lexington and Badminton are now doing a good job as well. But certainly Burley has pioneered the kind of permanent track site for these four stars. And, it's a track that Philip Herbert, the groundsman there, is very proud of. And, they did water it well, and they got it spot on. I think if we got the rain that we got on Sunday, on Saturday, who knows what would have happened. It would have been a very difficult challenge and a very different competition.
Well, when you've won it as many times as you have, William, you probably think, oh, this is great, it's another win. So put it in the context for us of all the wins that you've had there and in the context of your career to win Burley, as prestigious as that is, over such an extensive period.
I think I'd like to say it does. It means a huge amount to me. Yesterday was a very emotional day. I think to have equaled Lucinda Green's record of 6 badminton wins, but done it at Burley, is an honour. I feel very privileged to be, to Burley what she is to badminton. I've always quoted Lucinda's badminton achievement as one of the greatest achievements eventing of all time. To win 6 badmintons, and I never believe that anyone else will do that. And now to think that I've done 6 Burleys, it's quite incredible. And how lucky have I been to have had those horses to ride, and the owners backing me to enable me to go back to Burley.
Well, this year's winner of the Land Rover Burley Horse Trials.
All right, so that's William Fox Pitt there on the Eventing Radio Show, episode 158. You can find that at horseradionetwork.com.
It's time for the weekend roundup.
Well, you talked me into it.
Well, this is where we like to catch everybody up on the news of the horse world, especially stuff that happened over the weekend. And we were talking about this earlier with our adopted bug, Kaylee, that the Canlan sales are currently going on. And it's the September yearling sale, which is one of the biggest sales that they have as far as up-and-coming horses. And this is where a lot of people go to buy yearlings and then sell them as two-year-olds or yearlings, and this is going to be their next big racehorse. Well, with the kind of the sluggish start and the economy, people were not so, they weren't sold on the whole thing, whether or not they're going to make their money back. Is it going to be a big sale? Is it going to go well? Well, I guess 19 of the first 60 horses that went out there did not get sold because they did not meet their reserve price, which is the price that they set for each horse. So until hip number 87 comes out, hip number 87 rolls out, Glenn. This is a son of AP Indy. Now, if you know, AP Indy was pensioned this year, which means he's done breeding. He is one of the top sires in the world, and he's just had some fertility issues. He's like 26 years old, so he's really not going to be breeding anymore. So these are yearlings of his crop, and he's only got one more crop, and there's not many of them that will be sold. So you would think that an AP Indy colt would do well. Well, let's say that he comes out and, you know, the bidding, on average, the horses were going for about $350,000, which is a fantastic average for a horse, but that's not a huge average for the very prestigious yearling sales at Keeneland. So this horse comes out $100,000, $200,000, $300,000, $350,000. It's beat the average. Keeps going. $400,000, $500,000, $600,000, $700,000, $800,000, $900,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000 Andy, hip number 87, the top price at Sunday's Keeneland yearling sale.
Wow. Who bought them, do you know?
I'm looking for that right now. I believe it was a partnership. Let's see. Two Colts, let's see, Street Cray. An undisclosed third partner took home the APND for 1.4. There was a couple horses that went in the seven-figure totals. Two Colts hit the seven-figure barrier, they're reporting on Blood Horse. And it was California-based owner George Bolton paid $1.2 million to secure a son of Street Cry. And then an undisclosed third partner, along with John Amerman, Robert Evans, bought the $1.4 million APND colt. And there's a photo of this colt, and he is gorgeous. Oh, amazing. So,
and has,
60...
Is it required that when they show the horses in the ring, they have the chain under the lip? I think it's required. Oh, it seems to be a
they
thing.
They do not... They don't take them in there. These guys, the guys that handle the horses at Keeneland, you know, you've got the grooms out there walking them around, and the moment that they go into the arena, they are handed off to the guy in the green coat. There's always the guy in the Keeneland green coat, and those guys' job is to walk the horses in the ring. Now, usually they'll either have one of those little bits in their mouth or the chain under the lip. I think for yearlings, they probably do the lip chain more often than the little, I think it's called a shift bit. But Jennifer, you said that you can watch the Keeneland sales online, like live streaming. Is that true?
Yes. If you go to the Keeneland website, you just type in Keeneland and in your search engine, it pops up. And you go to the yearling sales page, and there is live streaming video of the entire sale every single day. It's awesome.
She has it on all
can
day
you...
long.
Maybe
oh my
that's
God,
why my
sorry.
Video card's going bad.
I was watching the U.S. Open tennis. She's watching horses sell. So that shows you where we're at. Hey, I also noticed that the Dubai ruler, Sheikh Mohammed, bought over one quarter of the day's receipts from Sunday were his money.
No way.
One quarter of the accounting for the day, the overall gross of the sale, was from Sheikh Mohammed. So Sheikh Mohammed
wow.
was spending some money. I don't think right now if it weren't for, if, you know, if the Middle East was not into racing horses, it would be tight, tight, tight at these sales right now when you figure that he himself spent one quarter of the day. It would be tough right now if it wasn't for that money coming in.
Well, those guys, you know, say what you will about, oh, American horse racing, they dump so much money into the American economy as far as horse racing goes. I mean, the sheikhs they don't just pack up these horses and take them back to Dubai or wherever they go home to. They have farms here, and they employ a lot of people.
They own a bunch of the farms here in Lexington. The bigger farms are all owned by them. And they hire locals for the most part. They hire locals to run and manage and, you know, operate the farms.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good. No. Well, let's see what happens. That sale continues for the next couple days, right?
Yes, it does. And Sumiko went ahead and posted the video of the APND colt. selling at Keeneland. So you can actually watch it on our Facebook page right now. Just search for Horses in the Morning. And thank you, Sumika, for posting that and letting us all know. Robert actually posted, for 1.4, I could buy the farm and a pile of horses.
That's true.
It's very true.
That's true, Robert. You're absolutely right. Well, speaking of Robert, Robert was upset that we haven't talked about the fact that the United States Equestrian Federation has recommended the athletes that will represent the United States in dressage at the Pan American Games in Guadalajara. And, of course, we talked about the Pan American Games last week with Kimberly Brown. If you missed that, I believe that was on Thursday. And so the following entries after this weekend's U.S. Championships at Gladstone came out as follows. Stephen Peters will ride Jen and Bruce, I can't even say their last name, I'm sorry, the owners, but it's Wiltino's Magic is the name of the horse. And we are very excited at the Horse Radio Network to announce a regular co-host on the Dressage Radio Show. Heather Blitz and Paragon are number two on the list, and they'll be representing, so congratulations, Heather. Cesar Pereira will ride Grandioso. And Marissa Festerling will ride Big Time. So those four have been picked. The following are alternates: Endel Ott, Shauna Harding, Heather Mason, and Lisa Wilcox, also a regular on the Dressage Radio Show. So we're very happy to announce that that's what it looks like is going to happen. And don't forget, the Pan American Games are on October 14th through the 30th. I have a related story on that, Jamie. Apparently, of course, you always have stories like this when it comes this time of the year. There is a Venezuelan equine encephalomyelitis outbreak in Mexico right now, and there are some riders that are based in Europe that are from, you know, either the Central America, South America, or North America that want to come over and ride in the Pan Am Games. Europe is restricting their travel and not allowing them to. They said because of this outbreak of Venezuelan equine encephalomyelitis, if they come over, then they will basically not be allowed to bring their horses back to Europe. So they're supposed to be taking another look at it, the European Council over there, and deciding by the end of the month whether they're going to allow the horses to travel to Mexico or not. By the way, this is a mosquito-borne illness that does the usual: high fever, depression, lack of appetite, and on and on. So, well, we'll see. Now, my question there is, if the Europeans are looking at that, is the United States looking at that? And if this outbreak gets worse, will there be restrictions all around? You know, will that hamper the Pan Am Games this year? We'll have to wait and see as that comes as we get a little closer.
And just reading all these stories about these outbreaks, I mean, VEE, which is the Venezuelan, and then Eastern equine encephalitis has had a reoccurrence, and there's just been, you know, all these diseases that have kind of broken out really remind you to please call your vet and get your horses vaccinated. There's vaccinations for these things. All you have to do is call your vet and schedule an appointment and pay for it. You know, but it's so important. And I know that the rabies vaccine is not really popular here in Arizona, but for $20, you pretty much secure your horse against death. You know, I mean, for $20, if the horses get bit by, you know, anything rabid, obviously, but what people don't remember is that there are bats. And bats are carriers of rabies, too. So go ahead and get your horse vaccinated for everything. Just go ahead and do it. It's totally worth it, I promise. Glenn, I was reading along with you in the dressage report that you were doing from Gladstone.
What did I mess up?
Well, you didn't mess up anything. First of all, Stefan Peters, he's riding Jen and Bruce's Waltino's Magic. However, I can't even say that last name. And you know I love to pretend like I can say names like that. H-L-A-V-A-C-E-K. Hlavacek.
Hlavacek? Maybe the H is silent?
I don't know. Hlavacek. I don't know. But then I was reading down, and I'm like, okay. Obviously, you know, Heather Blitz, congrats to her. She's writing Paragon, Dr. Cesar Pera, Melissa. And then I read that Heather Mason is going to ride her own Warsteiner. She's riding Warsteiner. I'm like, how do I know that horse? How do I know that horse? That name sounds so familiar to me, and I don't really know that much about dressage. Warsteiner, Warsteiner, Warsteiner. Got it. That's the kind of beer that Chad drinks.
And there is Jamie's point of reference.
I'm like, God, that name sounds so familiar. How do I know that horse?
And on the eventing side of the world, Australia, after over the weekend, Australia didn't qualify as a team for the Olympics. Actually, New Zealand won over the weekend the Olympic qualifier, but they had already qualified through the World Equestrian Games. The one that was the surprise over the weekend is Japan qualified for the Olympics, coming in second in the qualifier over the weekend, but Australia did not qualify, which was kind of a big deal for them, and they're kind of hurting. It's going to definitely put a blow to their program. On other things, we're running out of time.
Hold
here. A couple,
I got a comment
yeah.
about that, because I find it shocking that Australia is not going to have a
I
team.
Know.
I mean, that is a really big deal. I mean, that's Lucinda and Clayton Fredericks. They're not going to be able to go to the Olympics. I mean, this is just terrible and
surprising.
Well,
I think they can go as individuals, according to what Chris said, but they will not be representing a team.
Okay, good. Well, that makes you feel a little bit better. But not to have Australia in the Olympics is it just seems weird, because they're such fantastic eventers. But again, holy cow, Japan is going to the Olympics as an eventing team. That's fantastic.
I know. It's not something you hear too often. Hey,
no,
I wanted to thank everybody. I received several comments from people about the little tribute we did at the beginning of Friday's show, and I got a couple of emails and comments on Facebook and things for putting that on, and that was our pleasure. It was something that Jamie and I and Jennifer feel very strongly about. So that was no problem at all. We did feel strongly. We have two 9/11 related stories. There were 60 horses from the NYPD mounted unit that participated in the activities on Sunday, yesterday, in the ceremonies and things that went on. They were on duty, and they had 80 horses that served yesterday. There are about 112 uniformed officers and about 80 horses in the unit, and they have geldings that range anywhere from 5 to 10 years old, but they were out there doing crowd duty and doing what they do, so good job there to the mounted unit. And then on another note, on the canine side, there were, when the attacks happened, they brought in the rescue dogs after. And there were a total of 100 rescue dogs that were used in the months after 9/11. There are just 12 of these canines that have lived to this point. Remember, this was 10 years ago, and a lot of these dogs were probably a little older to begin with, a lot of them have died. There are a few seniors that are still alive, and they're being commemorated in a new book that has come out, and the book is called Retrieved, and it actually came out on Friday. You should be able to find it on Amazon, and I want to get this book, Jennifer. We have to see if it's available in audiobook. We should listen to this on the way for our vacation. It just is the story of these dogs and where they were at the time and what's happened to them after, and I just think I want to read this book.
Yeah, I bet you it's not available yet. I think it said on Amazon that it's a pre-order, and they will ship November 1st, I think.
Oh, darn.
Yeah, so get in there. And it's not very expensive. It's only like $15 or $20 because it's paperback. I thought it was going to be a big, giant picture book, but it's not. And I looked at some of the pictures. If you go to Amazon and look for the book Retrieved, they have a preview of a lot of the pictures of the dogs. And cool.
Let's
it's going
to
be a really good
I would love, I don't know how Jamie feels about this, but I would love to talk to the author here to find out some of the, you know, things that she learned behind the scenes that, you know, just to talk to her about this, because what a fascinating thing for her to explore the lives of these dogs. I just think it's a cool thing. And, you know, we all have dogs. We're horse people. We normally talk about horses, but we all have dogs. You know, most of us have dogs. So we'll have to see if we can get her on. I don't know how you feel about that, but.
If you want, I'll just cry from the beginning of the interview to the end. and you can just ask all the questions. So you'd be on your own because I'd be over here snuffling the entire time.
I have two more stories that'll make you chuckle. The first one is out of my brother's hometown up there in New England. Now, you got to remember, New England, and especially in Connecticut where Ledyard is, that's where what we're going to be talking about here. The Ledyard Fair is in my brother's hometown, and they just came off of a week or more without power after the hurricane hit. Well, they have something called the Redneck Olympics. I only thought that happened in Kentucky. Do you realize we have a machine gun festival in Kentucky? It's one weekend a year where everybody that owns their machine guns, which I thought were illegal, but apparently not in Kentucky, come in and they basically shoot the place up for a weekend with all kinds of machine guns. Well, in Connecticut, they had the Redneck Olympics. Men and women came out to see who could spit watermelon seeds the furthest. They also toss toilet seats in case you're not a good spitter. They hurl hay bales and they chuck bowling balls. And for the grand finale, they get up on the back of a truck and belly flop into a pool. That's good times right there in Ledger.
And when are you signing up for this event? Because
you should see my belly. I could do well at the belly flop thing. I think I could do well at that.
That was my point.
How this relates to horses is they had a horse pull. But the fun part was really the toilet seat toss and the belly flopping out of the back of a pickup truck, which I've actually never tried. The other one is a 13-year-old boy. You know how in Texas we always have these drunk guys that are fleeing from cops on horses?
Yes.
This time it wasn't a drunk guy. It was a 13-year-old boy who stole a horse. Yep, he just stole a horse right out of the field, decided to ride it down Main Street. The cops then pursued him along West Bayou and Martin Luther King Avenue, and the kid took off. Apparently, he was jumping things and running down blocks, and finally the police got the police car between him and a fence and stopped him, and he just did it for fun. Thought it would be a nice joy ride. He's now been fined, and I'm sure his parents have beat his butt. But he's been charged with two misdemeanors and trespassing on railroad property because he decided to ride down the railroad track.
Now, reading the rest of this, Glenn, actually the 13-year-old kid probably did the horse a favor because apparently the horse was being kept at a dry lot on Preno Street at the corner of Highway 6, and the horse is incredibly malnourished because when I thought, okay, somebody stole a horse, I wondered if Net Posse was called, they got involved. I seriously doubt it. The horse is now taken to, and I don't know where this is, but I love the idea of this, Habitat for Horses is where the horse was because it was so malnourished that the police have actually said if the owner tries to come and claim this horse, we will be conducting an additional investigation for possible charges on the owner of the horse for not taking care of the horse. So I seriously doubt anybody's going to go, that was mine, take me to jail. That's my horse. I know, take me to jail. I didn't feed it. So first, I think the 13-year-old boy is a hero. He did a fantastic thing, stole a horse, and got it taken to Habitat for Horses. If only that would work in the real world, and I could steal horses that weren't fed.
You know what I thought was fun? Last week we had the story about the guy who was like beating up his family and ended up getting shot by his mom but decided to take a joyride on the horse and got bucked off, and the horse taught him a lesson. This kid had to be riding bareback, and he didn't get bucked off running down the middle of the city.
He must be pretty good. And the horse must have had the energy to run, but maybe not the energy to buck because apparently he's pretty tired.
All right, everybody, that's it for today. Oh, yeah.
No. Before we wrap, we have to talk about these lesson prices. We posted on Facebook, what does a riding lesson cost you? I would think that would be just a regular old answer. Like Teresa says, 40 to 60 for an hour private. And then Michelle actually wrote from Mexico. It comes out to about $8 a class. So good for students, not so good for instructors in Mexico. Diane Tippett, $40 to $50 for an hour for a reining lesson, a semi-private. And then you've got our dear friend Kelly Utter. Bless her heart. You think, what do you pay for lessons? You'd write a number. This is what Kelly Utter posts. With my dressage sadist, it is $65 for 45 minutes. plus at least 3 days of not being able to walk, a week of my horse hating me, and if a lunch line is involved, add sore abs for 4 to 5 days to that equation.
Hold on. This is for you, Kelly. Because you know what? Why does it never work when you want it to? Oh, well, let's just clap. Because the cheering's not working.
Round of applause.
Yeah, best post of the day,
definitely. Best post of the day. She doesn't have a dressage trainer. She has a dressage sadist.
Kelly, tell us how you really feel in the next post. We really want to know.
Sounds like fun. I want to sign up.
Thank you, everybody. It's been a fun day. It seemed like a Friday, didn't it?
No, it seems like Monday.
Yeah. You know what? I got four more days till vacation. We both have four more days till vacation.
Yay! All right.
Let's say goodbye, everybody. Say goodbye, Jamie.
All right, everybody. Please, everybody, spay, neuter, and geld. Goodbye.
And we'll see you at Peelers.